For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
May 15th, we are in Rus and we're up to Perek Gimel. Is on page
1271.
Okay, 1271. So we said that this week we would try to work out what's going on with the Geula, with the redemption of the field. So the pasuk says, "Vatomer lo Nami chamosa biti halo vakeshlach manoach hashayi tavlach." So Nami says to her that she wants to find her a future. Something that it says here, security. I mean, some way that Ruth will be okay for the rest of her life, which really means a husband, some way, some form of settling down. So Boaz, who she said before was our relative, and that you were with his na'aros, you were with his maidens. So she says, I know he is going to be Zora. What is Zora?
Winnowing.
Not probably the Zorea. Zora is winnowing. He's going to winnow the granary of barley tonight. How do you winnow?
You blow something, make air, so that the part that you don't want goes away?
You don't make air. You throw it up in the air.
Oh, you throw it in the air. Right.
And then the wind blows, and whatever is not supposed to be there, the lighter stuff will be blown away. This is when you deal with crops. So after you are Zorea and you're Choresh, so you plant and you plow, or plow and then plant depending on where you are. Then when it grows, the next thing you do is you harvest. After your Kitzer, then your ma'amer, you gather it together. And then what?
Dash.
Dash is to thresh. So what does threshing mean? What do you do with it when you thresh?
Grind. Beat it.
What's that?
Beat it.
Yeah, so you beat it. And by beating it, what happens is that you have these long stalks of grain. And by beating it, the kernel of the grain gets detached from the stalk. It doesn't get separated. See, in English, the word separated means both things. Separated could mean to detach something, and separated could mean put them in two separate piles. Here, when you do dush, you are detaching, but you are not putting them in two separate piles. They're still mixed up together. They're just detached one from the other. That's dush. The next step is zoreh. You throw it up in the air, which is the first of three types of separating in terms of not detaching but getting them in different piles. So when you're Zora, you throw them up in the air, the stalk is lighter than the kernel. The kernel, unless it's a really, really, really heavy wind, is not going to get blown away. But all it takes is a breeze to blow away the stalk. So you throw it up in the air and the stalk gets blown away or gets blown to the side and the kernel comes back down on your winnowing board. So that's how it works. That's how you do it. So that's what he's going to be doing. She says, I know he's going to be doing that tonight. I assume it doesn't mean after dark, because then they can't see. But she says, I know he's going to be doing that this evening with the Garn HaSa'orim. Now, we know that Ruth came to Eretz Yisrael at the time of the Ketzilas Ketzir Sa'orim, the beginning of the harvest of the wheat, the barley, which we said was what?
Right after Pesach.
Right before Pesach.
Before Pesach.
For the Karban HaOmer. Right. Then she was with Boaz at the end of the last parak through the Ketzir HaTzor Muketzir HaChitim, which is through Shavuos, passed into the summer now. But now, which one do you thresh and winnow first, the Sa'orim or the Chitim? So the Sa'orim are ready to be threshed first because they've dried out. Because until everything is dried out, it's very difficult to detach anything, because as long as it's moist, if you've ever tried to do any kind of yard work where you have branches and things that are moist, they're much harder to detach. When they're brittle, they've already dried, then it's a lot easier. So you let them sit in the field till they dry, and there, so it doesn't rain in the summertime, so everything dries out. The things that were harvested first, in this case the seorim, have dried more quickly. So they're ready, once they get dried, to be threshed, and then to be winnowed. So she says, I know that he's going to be zoreh es goren ha-seorim ha-loyla, that he's going to be winnowing that first crop, the barley, this evening. So she says, I know he's going to be doing that. So, now here's what I want you to do.
How does she know that?
It must have been it must have been up to that time in the season. In Eretz Yisrael, because it's so, the seasons are so defined, and the weather is so predictable, so you knew when things were being done. So then she says like this. So this is one of the strangest things in all of Tanakh. Naomi, who is a great tzaddikess, so this is what she tells us to do. V'rachat v'sacht. So wash and anoint yourself, put oil on yourself, which was a way of adorning oneself. V'samt simosai chalayach v'yoradet. And you should put on your best clothes. They were very, very poor, so they didn't have good clothes, but take your Shabbos clothes and put them on you. And then go down, meaning go down to the field. V'yoradet ha'goren, go down to the granary. Al tivadi lo'ish, don't let yourself be known to the man. Ad kalaso la'chov alishto, till he's done eating and drinking. So don't tell him that you're there. Just go down there till he's done eating and drinking. V'hi v'shachbo, then when he lies down, meaning go to sleep. V'yadat esamakom asheishkav sham, you should know the place that he sleeps. Again, he doesn't know you're there yet, but you'll know where he sleeps. It's going to be in the middle of the night. Uvas, then you should come. V'gilis margalosav, you should uncover his feet. V'shachavt, and lie down. Go to sleep. And he'll tell you what to do. So this is incredibly strange what Naomi is telling her to do over here. First of all, the thing that what she's telling her to do appears to be inappropriate. The impropriety of the thing to tell a single woman that there's going to be a single man who is going to be in the middle of a field where it's pitch black at night, and I want you to go there in the middle of the night, figure out where he's sleeping, uncover his feet, and lie down. So it's strange. So that's number one. Number two, what is Naomi thinking? Like, what exactly is going to happen? He'll tell you what to do. She didn't prime Boaz. She didn't tell Boaz what's going to happen. How is she so sure that Boaz is going to deal with this the way it's supposed to be dealt with? Whatever the supposed to is. So it's very strange. Naomi's trying to make a shidduch here. So, make a shidduch. So then, why don't you just, you know, do it the way it's normally done. Send Ruth's resume to Boaz, and then Boaz will look it over, and then, you know,
call
he'll get back
references.
To call her references, right? And, you know, it'll be great. So what is Naomi doing over here? Very, very strange thing she's doing. But that's what she tells Ruth to do. Whatever you tell me, I'll do. So Rus accepts it. It's not clear that Rus understood what Naomi was trying to do here. But she said, listen, you tell me what to do, I'll do it. So she agrees. Vatered ha-goren, she went down to the granary. Vatas kechol ha-shetzivat ha-chamosa, and she did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. Now, Chazal say from here, Tein lechacham v'yech kam od, give to a wise person, and they will be wiser. Because the Naomi had told Ruth to first get dressed up and then go down to the granary. And she did the opposite. She went down to the granary first in her tattered clothing and brought her Shabbos clothes with her. And when she got to the granary, then she changed. So Chazal saying the reason why she did that is because she said, if I get dressed up first and then go down to the granary, people are going to see me and wonder what's going on. Very strange for a dressed up woman to go to the granary. The granary is not a place; it's a place where you work. It's like going to a warehouse. It's like going to a place where there's work. Yeah, to go to a construction site, all dressed up in your Shabbat clothes. You just don't do that. So why would she be doing that? And doing it not only that, but doing it towards evening, where it's going to get more and more deserted. It's going to appear that she is a zona. That's what people are going to think. So therefore, she didn't do it that way. She first went down to the granary, appearing like she was going as a poor person, perhaps to collect some food, perhaps to do some work, whatever it is, and she brought her clothes with her and changed when she got there. That's Tema Chacham V'Yech Kamo. Give to us a wise person. They will use your advice in a more wise way. So Ruth took the advice of Naomi, not understanding what Naomi wanted necessarily, but realizing that this part of the instructions she could change. And then it's an insight into Ruth's clarity, that even though her mother-in-law was telling her to do a very strange thing, she realized she shouldn't change the instructions about uncovering his feet and lying down. She's going to do that. So she realized not to change those instructions, but she understood enough that she could change the order in which her mother-in-law told her to do this. So it's an interesting insight. Vayochal Boaz vayesh vaytav libo. Boaz ate and drank, and he made his heart good, which means, Chazal tells us, he learned Torah before he went to sleep. Vayavo mishkav b'kseh ha'areimah. He went to sleep on the edge of the pile of grain. Vatavo v'alot. So she came stealthily. Vatagal marglosav v'tishkav. She did exactly what her mother-in-law told her to do. She uncovered his feet and she lay down. She went to sleep. Now, at that point, nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. She uncovered his feet and she lay down. Middle of the night, pitch black. She went to sleep. Vayihi b'chatzi halayla. So it was in the middle of the night. Vayecherad ha'ish vayilafes. And the man trembled, and he was scared. And how do they translate vayilafes over here?
You can startled.
He was startled. That's not vayecherad. Just vayilafes.
He turned about.
Yeah.
He turned about.
Yeah. Behold, there was a woman lying at his feet. He couldn't see. So there's a woman lying at his feet. Because I'll say that he woke up, he realized there was something there, and he thought it was a shade, a demon of some sort. And he was about to scream. So she grabbed him to keep him from screaming. Then he reached his hand down and felt her head and realized it was a woman. So he realized now it was a woman there, and now he didn't know what was going on. Vayomer mi'at. He said, who are you? Vatomer, she said, Anochi Rus. You see, by the way, that he couldn't see, because he knew what Rus looked like. So why is he saying mi'at? Who are you? Vatomer, she said, Anochi Rus amasecha, I am Rus, your maidservant. Ufarasach and afecha ala mascha, you should spread your cloak over your maidservant. Ki goel ata, for you are a redeemer. Spreading your cloak over your maidservant is another way of saying marry me. So you should take me in. You should marry me, for you are a redeemer. So now we've got to understand what that means. You are a redeemer. What does that have to do with anything? First of all, what does that mean? You're a redeemer. Second of all, whatever that means, what does that have to do with marrying her? Marriage is one thing. Redemption is another thing. What are those two? How does it come together over here? Vayomer, he said, Brucha at laHashem biti. You are benched to Hashem, my daughter. Heitavd chasteich haacharon min harishon. So here, Boaz is saying the chesed of Rus once again. Remember that, how do we know about Rus's chesed? I mean, we know a little bit of it in the first parak. But remember the second parak, Boaz emphasizes it. Boaz says, oh, Hugain Hugad Li Kol HaShasisuschamoseich. I was told everything you did for your mother-in-law. And then you left your hometown and everything like that. So here Boaz again is emphasizing the chesed of Rus. And he says, your later chesed is even greater than your first chesed. What was the first chesed?
Going with Naomi.
What is her second chesed?
Offering to marry.
Right. Livyolti leches acharei abachurim, that you don't want to go after the young men, imdal v'imashir, whether they are poor or whether they are rich. That you did not go after the young men, instead that you are coming to me, that is a tremendous chesed.
Why is that a chesed?
Why is that a chesed? That's a great question. What chesed is there? Rus is a pauper who's a foreigner who no one really cares about, and Boaz says it's a chesed that you came to me?
But he's really old.
Okay, so number one, he's really old.
Didn't your wife just die?
Not just now. She had died a couple months earlier.
Okay.
But you're right, she had died. But he's 80 years old, number one. Number two, I mean, he really is old. We know he's going to die the following day and a half later. He's going to die. He's going to marry and then he's going to die.
Right.
So he's really at the end of his life. He's an old man. So that she's willing to marry him, he feels is a tremendous chesed. But still, it's only a chesed if she had another choice. So what other choice is there? So he says, well, you didn't go after the young men.
What young men?
What young men would
who
have married her?
Marry her?
Right. Who was going to marry her? Who would have married her that he's saying you came to me rather than to the young men? What young men? Ve'ata v'ti al tir'i. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. Kol ha'shatomri ha'esalach, whatever you do, whatever you say, I will do for you. In other words, yes, I will marry you. Ki yodea kol shar ami ki eshes chayol at. Eshes chayol. Where does the parak of Eshes Chayal that we sing on Friday night, where does that come from?
Mishlei.
So Mishlei was written by
Shlomo
HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech wasn't born yet. The term Eshes Chayal was said by Boaz first. The song we sing was said by Shlomo HaMelech. Now, the truth is that Chazal say that Eshes Chayal was really composed by Avraham Avinu as a hesped for Sarah Imenu. So the truth is, it goes back to Avraham Avinu. But where we find it in Tanakh, for the first time, is in Rus, not in Mishlei. The first time the term Eshes Chayal is found here in Rus, with Boaz saying it about Rus. So everybody knows, don't be afraid, I'll do whatever you tell me, because all of the Shar Ami, now what does Shar mean? The men in the gate of my people. Who are the men in the gate?
The Sanhedrin
are called the men of the gate, of the Shar.
That's where they sit?
Well, they sit at the entrance of the city. It means, if not the Sanhedrin, it means the Beis Din. See, in the Pasuk, it says, you should go El Shar Ha'ir Ha'hi, to the gate of that city, referring to the court. That's what they said. They said in a place everybody would pass by. So, and we'll see that Boaz is going to go to the Shire. He's going to go to the gate in order to make the deal with his uncle late in the next parak. So they all know that you're an Eshes Chayal. So we see here that Boaz has a different characterization of Rus than when Rus came to Eretz Yisrael a few months ago. When Rus came to Eretz Yisrael a few months ago, Naomi told her, I have nothing. You will have nothing, and no one will care about you. There is no point in coming with me. And Rus went anyway. After she got there, Boaz found out about the great chesed of Rus and treated her very, very kindly. He did chesed to Rus in exchange for the chesed that she did for her mother-in-law. Evidently, Rus's reputation has grown, not necessarily amongst the rank and file of the Jewish people, but amongst the Anshei Hashar, amongst the great ones of the Jewish people, it appears, as Boaz is saying, it appears that Rus's reputation has become a good one. He says, all of the great ones know that you're special. They all know it. Which means that there might have been other choices of marriage. Since any of the Talmidei Chachamim knew about Rus's greatness at this point, then there would have been other people to marry. Now,
she was also old there.
40. Yeah. Yeah. But what's so special about Rus? Why did Elimelech go to Sedei Moav, what did we say a number of weeks ago?
Wasn't she like the epitome of chesed?
Yeah, but why did he go there?
The
he wanted to go to stop the Ra'av, because he knew that the purpose of the Ra'av was to bring about David HaMelech, Mashiach. And he knew that in order for that to happen, you needed to have a woman from Moab. He didn't know who, but he was going to go there. And he did. He was wrong for leaving Eretz Yisrael and going there, but his action did bring Rus back to Eretz Yisrael. Had he not gone, Hashem would have had other ways of bringing Rus back to Eretz Yisrael. But L'maisa Elimelech was successful in bringing Rus back to Eretz Yisrael. The fact that she was a Moaviyah who was practicing incredible chesed, that fact was not lost on the great Talmidei Chachamim of the generation, including Boaz. They understood that it is very likely that Rus is that link to David HaMelech. They understood that. They didn't know for sure, but because remember, she came back from Moab with Naomi, who had just lost her husband and two sons and all their wealth. So things didn't look like they had done the right thing. It looks like they had done the wrong thing and they were punished. And Ruth was the catalyst partially for that punishment. So it wasn't clear. But once Boaz became aware of the incredible chesed of Ruth, and she's here, she might be the one. She might be the Ima Shel Malchus.
And most people knew this, or was it just like the...
The great ones knew it. What would solidify and prove to Boaz that she really was the Ima Shel Malchus?
More chesed.
That he tapped chastecha acharon min harishon. Why didn't Boaz go to her and ask her for marriage? This second chesed proved to Boaz that this is it. This is the Ima Shel Malchus. She's the one.
I don't understand though. How is this a chesed? Like, okay, so let's say she would have gone to somebody else and it wouldn't have been a chesed, but sit here as chesed just because he's old?
It's because he's old and he's a broken man. He's lost his wife and 60 children. Mm-hmm. And she still goes to him. She at this point could have.
She goes to him. Is that because Naomi told
her? Right, exactly. So who's she doing a chesed to?
Her
Naomi.
That's right.
It wasn't a chesed to Boaz. It's that she listened again to her mother-in-law.
How did he know that Naomi sent her?
So this is where you have to. This is where you have to believe that Boaz figured that out. Boaz figured out that Ruth would never have done this on her own. Such a crazy thing to do. Right? She would never have done such a thing. She wouldn't have had the chutzpah. It must be coming from somebody else. Who would have planned this? The only person who could have planned such a wild idea was Naomi, who is the ultimate orchestrator. She is the shadchan. The ultimate shadchan is Naomi. And Boaz understands that and realizes that this is coming from Naomi.
And it's a chesed to Naomi because she's carrying on.
Because Naomi really wants to make sure that Ruth is taken care of. But you see, what will happen here is this. If Ruth is not Ima Shel Malchus, so at the end of the day, what happened? Naomi's husband and sons went to try to find Ima Shel Malchus. They did an Avera and were killed. She had a tremendous chesed done for her by this Moavi woman. Comes to Eretz Yisrael. This Moavi woman, because of her great chesed, is recognized as someone who is roy to marry. She marries somebody else, and they have a nice family and raise tzaddikim. Wonderful, but that doesn't justify anything that Naomi did with her husband and sons all those years ago, 10 years ago. But if Ruth comes back and becomes Ima Shel Malchus, then it doesn't make it right, but at least there's a little bit of a tikkun over here. There's something. Their plan ends up working. Not the way they thought it was going to work, but it does bring about David HaMelech. So there is a chesed to Naomi that in the end, all those years of pain and suffering, having lost her husband and children, at least she sees that there is a great thing that comes out of it.
Okay.
why would she orchestrate this whole uncovering?
Okay, so okay. Now what was going on? Okay, so hold on. We're about to get to that. Pasuk Yud Beis. V'ata ki amnan ki amnam ki goel anochi. So now it's true that I am a goel, like you're saying. I am a redeemer. V'gam yesh goel karov mimeni. But there is a goel who is closer than me. There's a closer relative. This is going to be Uncle Tov.
Right.
This is going to be his uncle Tov, who is a closer relative to Elimelech, to Nami, to Mahlon. There's a closer relative. Boaz is a cousin of Mahlon, a cousin of Nami, and a nephew of Elimelech. Tov is a brother of Elimelech, and an uncle of Nami, and an uncle of Mahlon. Right? So he's a closer relative. Lini halayla, sleep tonight. Will be in the morning. If Tov will redeem you, then he will. And if he doesn't agree to redeem you, I will redeem you. Chai Hashem, I swear by Hashem. Shichvi at haboker, sleep until morning, and then she does. Now let's stop here for now. So he says to her, there's a closer relative. Now, we haven't yet discussed, so what if there's a closer relative? What does it do with marriage? Who's discussing geula over here? Who's discussing redemption? What kind of redemption? So, we haven't discussed that. Why? I mean, is there ever a pecking order when it comes to marriage? You marry whoever you want to marry. What is it going on? Okay, so we'll discuss that. But Chazal tell us, why does he swear? Why does Boaz swear?
He doesn't want her to be scared that he's not going to do it. Okay. Or he doesn't want Hashem to make him die because he swears that.
So Chazal say two things. One thing Chazal say is that she said to him, you're just pushing me off. You're just speaking, you're saying nice things to me, but you have no intention of marrying me. So Boaz said, I swear to you, if he doesn't do it, I'll do it. I swear. That was one pshat in Chazal. The other pshat in Chazal is that Boaz here had a tremendous nisayon. He had an incredible yetzer hara. The yetzer hara said to him, she wants to marry you. You're an old man. You have no idea how long you have to live. This is your chance to be the ancestor of David HaMelech. You recognize this is the woman through whom Mashiach is going to come. You want to be in that legacy. You want to be in the line that produces David HaMelech and ultimately Mashiach. This will justify your whole life. Your 80 years of the most recently pain and suffering, having lost your wife, lost your 60 kids. You've got the chance. And you are fitting to be that great person to produce David HaMelech. After all, you are Boaz. You're the one who ended the famine. You are Ibtzan. You're the one who was the shofet of Klal Yisrael. You could be it. You're the Gadol Ador. So, she's single. You're single. What are you waiting for? Yehuda, he lived with Tamar, and that was acceptable, and that produced David HaMelech. You, Boaz, were produced by that. There was no... They didn't delay. He realized that he was being pushed towards her, and he realized there's something important going on, and so they live together. So why don't you do the same thing? Boaz understood that was wrong. Why? Because there was a goel karov mimeni. This is not right. There is a closer relative. Now again, we have to talk about what the importance of the closer relative is, but there is a closer relative. Therefore, it is wrong for me to jump the gun. And he swore to his Yetzer Hara. He swore to her that if he doesn't marry you, I will. He swore to his Yetzer Hara, I won't do it until he gets a chance first. I won't jump the gun. So he swore that he would not touch her that night. That's what Chazal say. So the oath was both to guarantee to her that he would do it if Tov didn't, and to swear to his Yetzer Hara that he won't do it now, that he will wait. Chazal say, Tukfo shel Yosef, the great challenge of Yosef, and Visanuso shel Boaz, was a lesser challenge. Boaz was a greater challenge than Yosef. Why? Because Yosef was tempted by a married woman. Boaz was a single woman. Therefore, Boaz had much less to stop him from doing the Avera. With Yosef, at least he had the threat of the fact that it was a married woman. Boaz didn't have that. And therefore, Boaz's challenge was greater than that of Yosef. That's what Chazal say. Yosef had tzaddik, because he withstood the temptation. Boaz's temptation was even greater. Okay, so what is Naomi trying to do over here? And what is going on with the Geula? Now, we're not going to be able to cover every detail tonight. We're going to try our best to cover as much as we can, but we will have to go further next week with this. Before we talk about Geula in and of itself, let's talk about Malchus based David. So, Naomi wants to arrange a Shirach. Now, I don't understand Naomi's plan completely, but I do have insight into Naomi's plan. Back in Parashas Vayeshev, I believe, we talked about Malchus Beis David. We talked about the story of Tamar and Yehuda, and we also talked about the context of Lot and his daughters, and we mentioned also Boaz and Rus. Now, do you recall at the time we talked about, we said it last week also, where the story of Yehuda and Tamar took place? So we said, according to one opinion, it took place in the Maras HaMachpelah. And Lot and his daughters, we also suggested it was Maras HaMachpelah. So how did we show that? So we said with Lot and his daughters, it says Vayeshev Bama'ara Hu Ushtei Venosav. He and his daughters, they went to, or they stayed in the Me'ara, the cave. Bama'ara, not Bim Ma'ara, not in a cave, but Bama'ara, in the cave. We pointed out that the only other place in Chumash that the word Me'ara, cave, is used is the Maras HaMachpelah. And therefore, it is, and plus we know it was near Hebron, because that's where Abraham was, and they were going, and that's near Sodom. So we suggested that took place in the Maras HaMachpelah. With Yehuda and Tamar, it says Vateshev Befesach Einayim, she sat on the opening of the eyes. Chazal say that means Bepitzcho Shel Avram Avinu, she went to the opening of Avram Avinu. Where is that? So there's the Machlokas. One opinion is it's the Maras HaMachpelah. What's the significance of the Ma'aras HaMachpelah and the story of Lot and his daughters and the story of Yehuda and Tamar? Remember what we said?
They're all producing Mashiach.
They're producing Mashiach. Why the Ma'aras HaMachpelah?
Because that's where the Greek people are.
It's true. Adam, Harishon, Adam is Rashi Tevis. Aleph stands for?
Adam.
Adam. Dalet stands for?
David.
And Mem stands for?
Mashiach.
Adam, David, Mashiach. So in the Maras HaMachpelah, where Adam is, since this is the most significant line that comes from Adam Rishon, is this line of David HaMelech, therefore they are in the Maras HaMachpelah when this is happening.
So this is also happening in the...
So when I learned, when I realized this, it seemed to me that it would be very interesting if this also took place in the Maras HaMachpelah. They're in the right area.
Yes.
What?
They're in the right area?
They're in Beis Lachem.
Yeah, okay.
So they're in the area. I mean, that he lived in Beis Lachem. He was out in the field, so he wasn't in Beis Lachem itself, but he's near Beis Lachem. So he's in the right area. So I was telling this over to one of my chavrusos when I was in yeshiva. His name is Rafi Cohen. And I was telling it to him, and I said to him, it would be really neat if we found some sort of a remez to the Ma'arat HaMachpelah here in Rus. So he looked around and he pointed out that Pasuk Zion. Vayokal Boaz Vayesh Vaitav Libo Vayavod Mishkav Biktzei Ha'arema. And he came to lie down at the edge of the Arema, of the pile. Look at the word Ha'arema. Take the mem and move it two letters back. Ha-me-ara. It's almost the exact same word. You just move the mem over a little bit. Same letters. Just move the mem back two letters. And you get Ha-me-ara, the cave. I cannot say with definitively this is true. And of course, in and of itself, just in a vacuum, why should that be true? But in the context of the other two stories, this is very compelling. More than that, we know that the next story that happens in Tanakh that is to produce Mashiach is this, which is also a story with a questionable relationship between a man and a woman. See, all these stories of the way that David HaMelech and Mashiach is produced involve questionable relationships between men and women. Lot and his daughters, Yehuda and Tamar, Boaz and Rus. There are questionable relationships going on. That is important because the Satan wants this line stopped. Because this is the line that is the most important line for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan to happen. Therefore, in order for it to happen, it's going to be very close to an Avera, and whoever is involved is going to not do the Avera, but become very close. It's going to be a tremendous nisayon in order to produce David. If you're just producing some regular person, okay, or some regular tzaddik, quote-unquote, it doesn't have to be a huge nisayon. But to produce the line of David HaMelech Mashiach, it's going to be a huge, huge nisayon. The next story, which was the huge nisayon, the first three stories, Lot and his daughters, Yehuda and Tamar, Boaz and Rus, all three succeeded and did not do the Avera. The fourth one does not succeed. And that is? David and Bathsheba. David and Bathsheba, Bathsheba, the Chazal tell us, was prepared for David, Misheshes Emei Breshes. She was supposed to marry David. Their son was going to be Mashiach. But it was done incorrectly. David did not pass that particular Nisayon. David, who was one of the greatest people that ever walked the face of the earth, but he did not pass that Nisayon. And therefore, Mashiach has been delayed. What is the difference between the story of David and Bathsheba and these three stories?
Didn't happen at the Ma'ara.
Okay, so if these three happened at the Ma'ara Samachel, okay. That one didn't. That's a good point. My Rashiva of Weinberg's Chon Racha pointed out that you see a fascinating thing. It is considered to be proper tznius when it comes to relationships between men and women for the man to pursue the woman. That's the proper tznius. Meaning, it's not normally tsanua for the woman to pursue the man. If a woman wants to pursue a man, there are protocols of how it should be done so that it maintains tznius. Uncharacteristically or unusually, in these stories, it is the woman who initiates. With Lot and his daughters, who had the idea?
The
daughters. Yehuda and Tamar, who had the idea?
Tamar.
Ruth and Boaz, who had the idea?
Naomi.
Not Ruth. Naomi. But it's always the woman. With David and Bathsheba, David sent for Bathsheba. So my Rashiva pointed out that is a simen that it was wrong. That shows it was wrong. It's not that was the Avera, but that shows that it was done incorrectly. If it would have happened correctly, somehow Bathsheba would have ended up coming to David. But instead it was the other way around. This is also part of the Nisan, because it's so unusual to happen this way. Naomi understood that in order for this to happen. Now, this is unbelievable. This is so hard to say. You're not allowed to ask for a nisayon. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to say that, you know what, I want to have more reward in Olam Haba. Right now, big deal. I don't get tempted. I'm going to put myself in a situation where I'm tempted, and I won't do the Avera. That's absolutely usur. Chazal say, if a man has two directions to walk, one direction, there are no improperly dressed women. The other direction, there are improperly dressed women. And he goes on the direction where there are improperly dressed women, and he closes his eyes. He doesn't look. Nikra Rasha. He's called evil. Rasha. He didn't do anything. But because he put himself in a massive of Nisayon, he's called a Rasha. You're not allowed to do that. If we always daven every morning, lowly day Nisayon, Hashem, don't bring us to Nisayon. If Hashem puts you in a place of Nisayon, okay, Hashem put you there. So you got to deal with it. But if he didn't put you there, you're not allowed to put yourself there. Part of the problem that David did wrong is David asked for a Nisayon. That's what he did with Bathsheba. He said to Hashem, test me, because I want to prove my loyalty to you. That was part of the mistake. Nami, it appears, decided she was going to create the Nisayon. It appears that Boaz couldn't ask for a Nisayon. That's Aser. But Nami, I don't know why she thought it was mutter for her to do it, but apparently it was. She created a Nisayon. She took Rus, had her dress up, and put her in the middle of the night in a deserted field at the feet of Boaz, so that Boaz would have an incredible Nisayon. He stood up to the Nisayon, and therefore, this is the next link in the chain of David HaMelech. I don't know why it was mutter for Nami to do that. I don't know that. But she did, and apparently she was right.
But let's say Boaz went to pass the test, then Nami would have been guilty of listening to Iver.
That's why I don't know why it was okay. That's exactly right. So I don't understand that part. It's obviously us, sir, for us to ask for an assignment, but could I put an assignment in front of you? That should be us, sir, because I'm giving you trouble. Right? So I don't know the answer to that question. But it follows the pattern of all these cases. Here, Ruth initiates going to Boaz. Boaz is faced with a huge Nisayon, and Boaz overcomes it. Bigger than Yosef. And he overcomes it. And the rest is history. He and Ruth become the parents of the great-grandparents of David HaMelech. Okay, so we have to stop for tonight. We have not covered over here.
Okay, a lot of string things.
Well, the main thing we're still dealing with is we haven't dealt with Geula at all. We haven't dealt with the pecking order over here of the Goel coming first. We've dealt with that Boaz was not going to jump the gun. He was going to give his uncle a chance first. Why? We haven't talked about that. We haven't talked about the Geula of redemption. And I just want to mention, in case I forget next time, there's going to be a tie-in here to Yibum. We have to discuss that as well. It's not real Yibum, but there's going to be a tie-in to Yibum as well. So there are things here that are still out there. We have to continue this Mitzvah Hashem next week.
Is the whole sense of Yosef, is that the reason why there's Mashiach ben Yosef?
I don't know the answer to that. Mashiach ben Yosef seems to be because Yosef was supposed to be the Bachar and was supposed to be the, you know, everything from him. But I don't know.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.